So, yeah, if you guys have time, I would encourage you to listen to Buzz's message. Great message. He went through Matthew 4:24, and he went through some of the other some other verses as well through the Bible. It's just we are really, truly in perilous times right now. It's scary times for a lot of people, right? And in Matthew, he talked about when nation will rise against nation. And his analogy was great because he talked about the Greek word for nation is ethnic, right? Ethnic groups, ethnic people. Ethnics are going to rise against ethnic. And then you look at it and say, oh, okay, now I see a lot of things happening, right? There's a lot of division. But ultimately, that's Satan. Satan trying to drive division between everybody. It's happening everywhere. It's not just happening out in the world. It's happening in churches. It's happening in religious groups all around the world, right? There's been a lot of division, a lot of hate, a lot of anger and animosity. So I would encourage you to listen to his message. It was a great message. And today we're going to talk, we're going to just go over a couple verses today. But I encourage you that as I was not one of the better students, I went to Blue Ridge High School. I definitely was not a good student. I didn't have a good GPA. But the one good thing encouraging that when I went to school here is that they did have some really good Bible teachers. All right, Jerry Bishop. We have Clay Stidham. He actually is a pastor of a church. We had Coach Morrow. We had some other people that were very good at teaching the Bible. And so even though I wasn't a good student in school, I was able to kind of grab a hold of the Word, and it was something that I was able to learn. And we've got to travel around a lot, and so we've been able to come back here, right? And we feel that Jesus, that we feel that God has called us back to come here and work at this church and work with the youth and help be a part of it. And we've been called here, so we left, let's see, 1993 is when I left. So it was a while, and we came back a couple years ago. But one of the cool things that we've got to do is that we've got to travel all, we've been able to travel all over. We've lived in Arizona, we lived in California, we lived in Hawaii, and our favorite place we've ever got to live was Alaska. If you ever get a chance to visit, I would encourage you to spend some time and go to Alaska. Because in Alaska, there's things that you will see that you only ever got to see in magazines or maybe on TV. And when you go to Alaska and you go to places like that, and even here, it's so beautiful, but you really know that God exists. When you get to see the great nature and grandeur of Alaska and the vast just openness and mountain ranges, you really get to see how great God is and how big his hand, you know, how it is, and we just kind of exist. We're just these little tiny little blips right in this gigantic universe. But I encourage you, if you get older and you get a chance to travel, I would do that. But today we're going to go over some of the things that we do. And one of the things that we do as adults, kids not so much, is that we usually try to have a New Year's resolution every year, right? New Year, you guys remember how every year someone's like, oh, have a New Year's resolution, you know, do this. And maybe you could set your life up by having financial freedom. And we always see this New Year's resolution, but I did that for many years. I did a New Year's resolution, and one of my New Year's resolution was always wanting to get back in shape, right? It's one of the things I always wanted to do was get myself back to where I was young and growing up here and I was in shape. And so what I've noticed is I've taken, we've gotten meal plans, right? We've done workout regimens. I've taken lots of photos, right? They say you always want to do a before photo and an after photo. Well, my before photo just becomes my after photo, which is my next before photo, which is my new after photo. So what happened was I have this collage, photo collage of me just getting fat, right, over the course of these years, and that's what's happened in my life. But what I thought was, I thought, oh, man, if I could just change and get back into shape, I could, you know, complete this New Year's resolution. But what I really needed was a renewal. I really needed God to just renew my spirit and my heart because, you know, as we get older and as we become adults, sometimes we get busy. We get busy raising kids. We get busy running a business. And life becomes accelerated, right? Things start coming. For those of you that are graduating, right? How fast did this year go by? Things are accelerating. Kayla got to work with me this week, and by Friday, she was like, oh my gosh, it's Friday already? It just flew by. And well, that's what's going to happen as we get older. But we have to realize we have to take time to study the Word of God. We have to take time to allow God to renew and reshape us. And when we got to move to Alaska, I was able to see some of these amazing events that take place. And, you know, you go through college, and there's a lot of professors. We had, Eric and I were in the same class. We had a professor, an English professor, and she hated me. She said I was a male chauvinistic pig, and she was our debate. So we're in class supposed to be having debates, but she hated me, and she didn't like me. She didn't like any of my debates. We could never debate because she just didn't like me. But what we were able to do is we got to go to Alaska. I got to see life in like a little bit different versus just what the world offers and what college offers and what your greater education is going to teach you. We got to experience things firsthand. And one of the things that was most amazing to me in Alaska was the salmon run. Have you guys ever got to see how that works? So these salmon, they spawn up in these rivers, and then they swim down these rivers after they're hatched, and they pop out into the ocean, and they circumnavigate the entire earth. And they can be out there for a couple years at a time. And then what they found out, that the salmon go up the exact same river that they were hatched in. So that is like, how is that even possible, that they can circumnavigate the whole entire globe for a couple years and they still go back up the same river that they were hatched in? It's just, it's mind-blowing. But we got to see events like that. We got to see mountain ranges, right? Denali. Do you guys know about the Denali or Mount McKinley mountain range? It's the tallest peak in the United States. It's 20,310 feet tall. That's its peak. And it covers 6,045,153 acres, which is actually larger than the state of New Hampshire. So just the mountain range in Alaska for Mount McKinley is larger than the entire state of New Hampshire. So that gives you kind of an idea. So you take Texas, and Alaska is twice the size of Texas. And inside of that is this little tiny mountain range. It looks small because the state's so big, but that mountain range is just as big as the state of New Hampshire. So there's ice glaciers, and we've got to see those firsthand. That was pretty impressive to see these giant walls of ice. And in Juneau, there's a glacier. It's called the Tidewater Glacier. And it's famous for the fact that it's over 4,500 feet thick. So that glacier is ginormous, right? How deep is 4,500 feet? We planted some trees at the house, and we barely could get to, 30 inches? 30 inches deep, but that was hard. And we finally were like, yes, we're there! And it's just this little teeny tiny hole. But that glacier, 4,500 feet thick. All right, and I know that we're told that the earth is, global warming's happening, and we're all going to die. And when these glaciers melt down, then we're all going to have these tidal waves, and everyone's going to be washed up. But that glacier is still there. It's still there today, believe it or not. But one of the events that I really appreciated, that really started bringing me close to the Bible again, one of the things that was the studying of the bald eagle. I don't know if you've got to see the bald eagle in its natural habitat. It's absolutely one of the most amazing things to see when they're hunting out there. We were on a boat. We fished for hours one day, and we didn't catch anything. We didn't catch any fish, and we just were out with a friend, and this big, giant eagle came from a tree, and probably from like me to where Cassie is sitting. It came down, and it grabs this giant fish out of the river and took off, and we had been fishing in that river for hours and didn't catch anything, and the kids were like, man, that was like watching the Discovery Channel live. It was really awesome. It's something that you don't ever forget, right? We don't ever forget those things when you see them firsthand. But what really helped me with the eagle was it really started giving me an understanding, like started reading the Bible more and then seeing like, man, you know, God brought up the eagle. What does that mean? What does an eagle have to do with the Bible? What does it have to do with some of the things that he teaches us? So what I want you to learn today is how important it is to take Scripture and to meditate on that Scripture, to meditate on the Word, to meditate on what is God trying to teach us right here. What is he trying to explain to us? In Isaiah 40:31, that's where we'll be today. It's what we're going to share. It says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Just like the struggles, right? Just like the struggles in our life are real right now. We have so many struggles going on. We have so many struggles in our country. We have so many struggles within our church. We have a lot of struggles in our community, right? Drugs are rampant in this community. We have a lot of theft. A lot of things are real. And just like they're real to us, the struggles for God's people back in Isaiah's time were just as real. They were dealing with many, many things just like we are today. And during Isaiah's lifetime, the nation of Israel was suffering a period of great distress, and they were being oppressed by the Assyrians. I'd encourage you guys to read Isaiah. But they were being oppressed, they were being invaded and conquered. And Isaiah chapters 40 through 48 contains promises of redemption and deliverance from those things that they suffered from. That's what he promises them. The section of the book starts with the words, "They comfort," right? God says, "Comfort my people," says your God. That's Isaiah 40, verse 1. Israel had never given up hope, thinking God had abandoned them, yet Isaiah drives this point in Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. It says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall fall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So today, right now, there's things that we don't understand. We're trying to, if you guys have been reading the news, Facebook, all these Twitter accounts, we're trying to make sense of everything that's happening. And we can't. We can't make sense of it. And as Buzz went into detail, it was really awesome. He talked about how Satan is really in control and how all of this stuff is really starting to come about. The end times prophecies, right? It's really right here at our doorstep. And we fight the devil in so many ways, right? In our schools. We can't even pray in our schools anymore, right? We can't say prayers at city hall meetings. They'll arrest us, right? They've got ordinances against that. So we're fighting the devil in so many ways, in our communities, in our homes. We've lost loved ones. There's been people suffering with drug abuse. Drugs are rampant. We all know somebody that's suffering with a drug problem, one way or the other, whether it be a prescription drug problem, right? That's how a lot of it starts. It starts as a prescription drug and turns into something else. There's a lot of pornography. It's everywhere. It's rampant. It's all over. I mean, we can't even really watch a regular TV show anymore, and a lot of that stuff's almost pornographic. It's crazy what's on regular TV anymore. But what about even like in our own church, right? We're having division in our own church. So how do we battle? How do we get through this when we're weary and we're tired? How do we really battle through all these things when I got to go to church today. I don't want to go to church today. There's all these things, distractions. We don't want to be here. We don't want to pray. We don't want to spend time in the Word. So how do we get through this? And the answer is Isaiah 40:31. "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So when I was reading these, when I really started digging into the Word, and what's great is Pastor Tony and I, we used to meet on Thursday mornings. Right now it's kind of on hold because of what's going on. But we really got to dig in, and we get to spend a lot of time just reading the Word of God. What does the Bible say? It really has a lot to teach us. It has a lot to tell us. So I would encourage you all, while we're going through this time, that you spend more time in the Word. Spend more time in prayer. More time listening to messages, listening to the weekly message like Buzz's message. I'd encourage every one of you, and if I was your parents, I'd make you listen to it, but we'll probably listen to it again. It was filled with some great information. So why did God use examples like an eagle? What is so important about the eagle? Why would he use those things? Well, studying the Word and really getting to travel, I really got to see why he referenced the eagle and why he speaks to us in ways that are so simple, and sometimes we don't even understand it, but if we just spend some time in the Word, spend time praying and meditating on it, we'd be like, oh my gosh, I didn't even ever notice that. And that happens a lot while Pastor and I was like, man, I've read this 10 times, and I never really understood it like I understand it right now because my heart was right. And that's what I encourage you. Ancient Hebrew culture revered eagles as these mighty warriors. And they cared fierce for their youngs. Eagles carry their eaglets to safety, right? They really care for them. An eagle, they are mates for life. They mate until they die. So that's very important, especially now. But the eagles will take their babies away, their eaglets away from predators. But when we lived in Alaska, we got to see eagles like I never experienced before. And one of the things that we got to experience was when the tides were out. We lived in Anchorage, and we'd go down around the inlet. And when the tides were out, the fish would get stuck out in the sand. They would have all kinds of, those anchovy-like fish? They'd have salmon, they'd have anchovy, and they would be stuck in the sand, and there would be just mass numbers of eagles down there just eating. It was like a buffet for them. They just got to pick the food out. And so I was like, man, that's pretty amazing. And we started studying them, and the Alaskan bald eagle is one of the biggest eagles in the world. It can have a wingspan up to 7.5 feet long. The bird can weigh up to 14 pounds. I mean, that's huge, 7.5 feet. So TJ's 6'2", so add another foot and 2 inches. That's the wingspan. That's tip to tip. So when they would fly over the car sometimes, it would cast a shadow almost kind of like a small plane. I was like, man, that thing is amazing. So we started really studying the eagle, and then as we're reading the Bible, it's like, oh, let's see how this can be a practical application. And the one thing that we learned was that eagles love storms. This is what's so crazy about an eagle. That's kind of what we're going to highlight today. They're one of the only birds that will fly when the storm comes. So all the other birds, right, you'll see them. They're kind of like squeaking and squawking. Have you guys seen many birds flying right now lately with the wind? We had one in our garage. It couldn't fly. It actually got stuck in the garage because it didn't want to be outside. It was so windy. But just think about it, and think about this next time when you're out there, especially today when you're driving home, and be like, wow, I do not see any birds flying. It's pretty amazing. So all the other birds flee from the storm, but the eagles don't. They have an ability given them by God to fly right into the heart of the storm. And it's pretty amazing. I would encourage you, ever get a chance, to go watch some eagles. If you ever go bird watching, check it out. They take out their wings and they use the wind, okay? They use the storm, the wind of the storm, to help catapult them. And they'll fly right into a storm, and they'll use that storm, and they don't spend any energy. And the next thing you know, they're all above the storm. And they'll be way up. They don't use any energy. They have the ability to use their wings to lock them in and their feathers, and they don't use any. The storm does all the work for them. It's truly amazing. They sit there and they fly and they'll circle around. And next thing you know, they're just hovering above this big giant storm and they didn't use any energy. And Christians, sometimes we spend so much energy trying to fight these problems we have. We have these things coming up in our lives, and then by the end of the battle, we're drained. We have no energy left. We're discouraged. A lot of Christians have left the church. A lot of people. We saw Hawk Nelson, right, this Christian music band that was huge, wrote a lot of number one songs, was Dove Award winners, and now he says he doesn't believe God exists, right? Because he didn't have a strong faith. And when these storms come, we're drained, we're fighting these battles, and we have nothing left, we have no energy left, but not the eagle. The eagle has been documented that when these huge storms come, they actually will be perched up on a tree waiting for it. They know that a storm is coming before it even ever gets there. And that's crazy to me because as Christians, a storm's come in our lives, and some of us, we don't know how to handle it. Some of us Christians, we've got family, even ourselves. I've gone through situations where I've completely exerted all kinds of energy, and I had none left. And it just came to me being on my knees and praying and letting God take the situation, which is what he would have done from the beginning if I'd have let him, right? But our human nature tries to take over. But right now, it's been super windy the last few days. I mean, even in the tool truck, we've been blowing all over the road. Coming into church today, it was crazy windy. But I encourage you, look out there and see what kind of birds you see flying around. If we were to probably go on a hike, we'd probably see a couple eagles out there up in the mountains. They're starting to get more and more up here. But what's cool is that God created these birds unique. And just like he created you guys, very unique, right? We're all different. We're all individuals, but we're all believers. And God's going to use us, and he's going to help us get through all these storms. Because we're going to face many storms. Like a couple weeks ago, we talked about suffering as a Christian. We are going to face suffering. It's going to come to us. But what we have learned, what we have been taught, what we've studied, what we've put in our heart, that is what's going to help us get through all of this, right? First Peter, I encourage you a couple weeks ago to read it. I encourage you again to read it over and over for the next 30 days. Because right now, with what's happening with all this civil unrest, with what's happening with the hate, right, the lawlessness that we're experiencing, there's so much anger and animosity. There's so many emotions. I mean, just reading the news, I get angry. I'm like, man, how can this be? And then, you know, next thing you know, you're angry, you're upset, you're frustrated, and there's all these things going on. But we as Christians, we can only rise to heights if we take up the challenges at hand, right? And that's these storms that are going to come to us. And if we really, truly are in the last days, like, it looks like things are really headed that way. Like Buzz talked about some of the technology that's out there that could be completely used by the Antichrist. A lot of the things, the mark of the beast, things that have been patented lately that have the number 666 in them. This thing is, it's real. It could be coming a lot sooner than we anticipate. But having the word hidden in your heart is so important. I don't know how, if you guys learn anything from us at this church, if you learn anything, I just pray that it's you guys are spending time in the word and you're memorizing verses like Psalms 119:11, right? I've hidden your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. Very important. Those are the verses. If our Bible is ever taken from us, which I think it could be one day, the way things are working, what are you going to have in your heart? What knowledge are you going to have stored away? What verses are you going to have memorized? And remember, we try as Christians, we try to fight so hard, but we need to learn from the eagle. We really, truly need to learn from the eagle and realize that the eagle, we don't have to spend a lot of energy to get through a tough time or turbulent issues in our lives. We don't have to. If we allow God to head into the storm with us, what about having God head into the storm before us? Right? Because it's coming. There's going to be storms coming. But what if we allow him to go in before? If we allow God to head into the storm, we can be like the eagle and fly right into the storm with them and not use a lot of energy, not come out completely defeated and broken down and beat up. But the eagles are a figure of speech commonly used to attribute fine characteristics to a person. And the Lord references eagle's wings in Exodus 19, verses 1 through 6. It says, which is a recollection of how God delivered Israel from the Egyptians. In this passage, the Lord gives Moses a message for his people. It says, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. The prophet Isaiah uses wings like eagles in the same way, attributing the great characteristics of eagles to those who remain faithful to God, right, and look forward. The phrase mount up is a translation of a Hebrew word, which was A-L-A-H, Allah, which means to go up, to ascend, to go up for a boundary. Isaiah is communicating the promise that God will provide renewed strength and courage to overcome obstacles. If Israel would only have patience and trust the Lord, right, trust His timing, a lot of times, especially right now, we want things to happen right now. We don't want to wait till tomorrow. That's why fast food is so busy, right? We can pull up and we order our food. By the time we get to the window, most of the time it's there. We drive off. We want things now. We want an allergy pill that we take and our allergy stop as soon as we take it, right? That's kind of how we live our lives. But we got to realize it's in God's timing. But we got to wait for Him. And upon reading Isaiah's word, perhaps Isaiah recalled what God said to him long ago as they fled Egypt, about how the Lord had delivered them on eagle's wings with His great strength and power. It says, Isaiah tells them that they too could have access to such a deliverance if they remained faithful to God. And that's important, right? We've got to remain faithful, especially right now, because there is division being driven in every aspect of our lives. And we have got to be faithful. We have to maintain our testimony, right? Our testimony that we will not forsake our testimony of Jesus Christ. We're going to have to take a stand. It could be coming sooner than we anticipate. But Christians today can apply the principles of Isaiah 40:31 by trusting in God's sovereignty and waiting faithfully for Him, and that we don't lose heart. And that's hard. That's why I kind of stopped reading the news. I kind of glanced through a couple news articles, but I just can't even look at it anymore. And though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So we got to remember that. We got to be renewed. We got to let God renew us day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16, God in His grace will provide power, strength, and courage to the weary, weak, and downtrodden when they are willing to be patient and wait on Him. So here's a few verses if you guys are taking notes, or if you guys have your phone and you want to write these down in your notes. Here's a few verses that you can grab a hold of and have a renewal for the Lord. And I encourage you to keep these verses in your arsenal so you have these memorized. Ephesians 4:22 through 24. It says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Psalms 51:10 through 12 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Restore me to the joy of your salvation. So that's what's really important too, is, you know, what Buzz talked about today. We have all these emotions and all these things and all these people and all these ideas and all these different directions we're going in, but it comes back to the fact that if we're Christians and we're saved, what is important? What should we be doing? We should be preaching salvation to everybody. He made a great analogy, and he said, you know, Jesus never got sucked into the politics of his time, right? The Sadducees and the Pharisees, as we went through Matthew and as we're going through other books of the Bible, he never got into those arguments of the politics. What he kept doing was he kept preaching the gospel, kept preaching salvation over and over again, right? And that's as we're called to be just like Jesus. We're called to live a life. We should be sharing salvation. We should be sharing the word of God with everyone we come in contact with, our family, our friends, people in the street, strangers, right? Romans 2:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Your mind is going to be transformed when you're studying the right things, when you're listening to the right things, when you're learning the right things, right? That's how we get transformed. Colossians 3:9 through 10 says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. If we seek the Lord, we will find Bible instructions on renewing. We're going to have our spirits renewed. We're going to have our minds renewed. We're going to have our hearts renewed. And sometimes we need our strength renewed, right? I know I need my strength renewed all the time. So my prayer today is that each one of us here can be renewed, okay? You two are going to be graduating. You're going to be moving on. You've got to be able to take what you've learned the last few years in the youth or wherever you guys have been going and attending church. You have to be able to take that. You've got to be able to share it with other people. You've got to be able to share it and be that light in this lost world. So you got to continue to stay in the faith. You got to continue to stay strong. And I'd encourage you both that are going to graduate to fill out a ministry application and work in the ministry somewhere here in church. It'd just be great for you to stay. That keeps you connected weekly in the Word. But we need it more than weekly. We need it daily. We need it minute by minute right now. We need to be spending more time in the Word, praying and preaching and loving and just learning more and more. So we'll just pray, and I think we'll be able to get out of here. All right, Dearly Father, Lord, we're so grateful that you give us a place to worship, that you give us a place to meet where we can study, give us a place to call a church, Lord. And we pray for everyone here today that if anyone's struggling, Lord, that you will just touch their heart today. If anyone is just struggling with anything going on out there in the world, Lord, we just pray for peace. We pray for just a renewal, Lord, of our spirit. We pray, Father, that you will just help us take the words from your Bible, take the words from your instruction book you have given us, that we will hide it in our heart, Lord, that we will continue to meditate on it, and we will meditate on it day and night so we can grow in your word and grow so we can just teach the lessons of salvation, so that we can have an answer for whoever asks, Lord. We thank you, Father. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.